This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong.
Arvind Yuvaraj.
A few messages over the break regarding the question that we asked. Does Malaysia need no selfie zones here? And if we did need them, where would they be? We've had a couple of tweets. We've had a couple of messages. Even had a direct message, which seems kind of missing the point a little bit, I think.
Yeah. So this is from Anwar Jumapoy. Anyway, and they say, according to Injury Facts 2017, choking is the fourth leading cause of unintentional injury or death. Of the 5,051 people who died from choking in 2015, 2,848 of them were older than 74. Food is often responsible for choking incidents in the elderly. Should we ban eating? To which my response is, I think that's kind of false equivalence there, because we need to eat to live. And I love taking selfies, but I don't need to take selfies to live. So, no.
Unless, of course, you are a influencer, then you need to, take selfies to live, technically.
Yeah, but arguably, even that, you could still be safe about it.
You could be safe about it. So anyway, so that was one we had via Twitter. What else did we have?
On Twitter as well, we also have Zayo Haq, who says, safety should be of highest priority and we should have no selfie zones. They should be identified in Malaysia.
Mm. Arvind.
Yeah, over on WhatsApp, there's one from Shankar who says that, I guess it's survival of the fittest. I will add that maybe it's survival of the smartest. Mm. We have one from Paul J, who says that, get employees to take pics for tourists, like in so many tourist destinations. So maybe get the people who work at these like theme parks or like sites to take those pictures.
Christine is shaking her head vehemently.
I don't trust that. I'm always really terrified they're just going to like run off with my phone or
your
something.
Your phone? Even the employees at the park or something?
I'm a paranoid person.
Mm. I've got one over on Instagram from Leanne Lin Kong, who says, at all buildings more than two stories high.
Wow.
Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to move on to story number three. But if you do want to keep feeding back, don't forget WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Also on Instagram and on Twitter at BFM Radio. Will Google Smart compose, create inboxes full of Gmail speak?
Yeah, so going from YouTube to Gmail is still in the Google kind of family. But basically, Google has introduced a Smart Compose feature. So this is on Gmail, and it helps users complete their sentences within composing an email. Smart Compose scans the content of users' messages and suggests phrases and words based on things that Google knows about English. So, for example, if you start a sentence with the letter H, it might be, how are you?
If you had used Inbox, Christine, like we spoke a couple of weeks ago, it's had this feature forever.
Well, I'm part of the plebeians who did not know Inbox existed. Okay?
Anyways. What is an inbox?
Let's not get into that now.
We can debate that. We can talk about that.
Listen to the podcast, okay? But the point is, this is building on Gmail's smart reply feature, in which quick responses like thanks or see you there can be sent with the touch of a button. And I got this article from Quartz at Work. Basically, it was a really interesting article about, they think essentially, the writer of this article, that because the Smart Compose feature uses AI to essentially scan your messages, see how you talk, and then write your email for you, because it keeps suggesting stuff, if you do use those suggestions regularly, would it kind of train itself, and then would we end up essentially having these very basic, it says here, a Gmailese kind of this generic English dialect, would we have that in our emails as opposed to the way that we normally speak?
Right. What do you think?
I like it. If it went like, if I could use Gmail speak, quote unquote, for my emails, I would use it. Because the last thing I want in my emails is someone going to whom it may concern, because that takes up like already more seconds than it should take up.
Datuk, Datin, one, and it just goes on and on forever.
Yeah, it's not an essay. Right, so especially when you're at work, you just want to click on your unread mail and you want to see what the content is and you want to go pop, 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 pop. Okay, that's it, and go to the next email, because we have like a flood of emails coming in. If they could pick their words to keep it short and sweet, and Gmail sort of helped them out, I would take it. I would even take it for myself. I would even let it suggest stuff for me to use.
Yeah.
But it, like Christina said, it worries me. Like when you do you use the predictive text on your phone, and people say that whole thing on Facebook, type out your sentence using the predictive text on your phone.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to end up with if we're not careful.
Yeah. So for me personally, I use the Smart Reply, occasionally the Smart Compose thing, although I actually tend to rephrase whatever they've suggested. So they might have said like, oh, thanks for getting back to me, but I might rephrase it slightly to fit my kind of my phrasing and my syntax. But what I do think this might be useful for is clearing up misconceptions, because through email and texts and stuff like that, sometimes it's difficult to kind of get nuance, or you might have some sort of misunderstanding in terms of like scheduling or something like that. So if you have this kind of generic Gmailese, as the article has put it, it might maybe prevent like miscommunication in the future if people are all kind of using these basic words and phrases to get their message across.
All right. Okay, interesting stuff. Anything else to add?
There is one thing that they've like highlighted in this article, saying that a lot of times it gets it wrong as well. So like a couple of times when she typed in the word L because she wanted to say like, it changed it to love.
That could be dangerous.
Yeah, it could mean like a completely different thing. So I guess the more you use it, the more it will learn. But also, if people use it too much and they're not careful with what they are typing, we could end up with another like autocorrect monster
situation.
What was it? You got a lot of people using the iPhones for a while when they were sending emails from that. You know, sorry about the brevity. I'm sending it from my iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or sent from my Apple iPhone.
Typing with thumbs.
Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh dear. Right. Time for a break, folks. Don't forget, you can feedback and give us suggestions about where in Malaysia, if we needed them, would we have no selfie zones. WhatsApp 018-789-8899, on Twitter or on Instagram at BFM Radio. More music coming up from The Jam with In The City. When we come back, our final story of the day. Welcome to New Zealand. Now hand over your password or pay $5,000. Yeah, I'm not kidding. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.